hearty seasonal greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give Sunnyside a sports salute to two U.S. college basketball coaches, Gino Auriemma and Sylvia Hatchell, who both recorded milestone victories on Tuesday. Auriemma, who coaches the top-ranked University of Connecticut women's team, and Hatchell, who coaches the University of North Carolina women's team, both reached 1,000 wins in their long coaching careers. Connecticut beat Oklahoma 88-64, while North Carolina defeated Grambling 79-63. In the process, Auriemma and Hatchell moved into very select company. Only three other coaches in Division I U.S. college basketball have won 1,000 games. Tara Vanderveer, who currently coaches Stanford University, and the late Pat Summitt also have done it in women's college basketball. And Mike Krzyzewski of Duke University is the only men's coach to have won 1,000 games. Like Krzyzewski, Gino Auriemma already has been inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. He's led the University of Connecticut women to 11 national championships, the most in college basketball history. The Lady Huskies have won 100 of their past 101 games, and they're off to a perfect 9-0 start this season. More than a few of Coach Auriemma's players have gone on to professional and Olympic success. And speaking of the Olympics, Coach Auriemma also has won three Olympic gold medals guiding the USA women's basketball team. Reflecting on his 1,000 collegiate wins, Coach Auriemma has this to say.
The most rewarding thing is the number of players that after they leave here want to stay connected to the program, want to stay invested. They want to always feel a part of it, so they show up whenever they can, whether it's a Final Four or a big moment like this or it's a big game. For me, the fact that they still want to hold on to those 4 years that they had when they were at Connecticut, that probably means more than anything.
Now let's move to professional basketball. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers have lost for only the second time in their past 20 games. LeBron and the Cavs have been playing some excellent basketball, but they got beat Tuesday night by the host Milwaukee Bucks, 119-116. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the young star for the Bucks, scored 27 points. He also grabbed 14 rebounds, had 8 assists, and 2 steals in a fine all-around performance. Milwaukee teammate Eric Bledsoe scored 26 points. LeBron led the Cavaliers with a game-high 39 points. Milwaukee ended a 5-game losing streak to Cleveland. In other Milwaukee Bucks news, forward Jabari Parker, who is recovering from knee surgery, practiced on Tuesday with Milwaukee's G League minor league club, but he's not expected back on the court for the Bucks until February. Jabari Parker had surgery on his left knee in December 2014. In other NBA results Tuesday night, The Sacramento Kings defeated the Philadelphia 76ers 101-95, while my favorite club, the Washington Wizards, waved their wands and were victorious here in Washington, where they beat the New Orleans Pelicans 116-106. More NBA injury news. Golden State star guard Stephen Curry will miss at least one more week with a sprained right ankle. The Warriors say Curry's ankle is healing well, though, and he's been cleared to do modified on-court workouts. A few other players on the defending champion Warriors are also dealing with injuries, but the club is winning. Golden State has won all five games since Curry injured his ankle on December 4th in a game against New Orleans. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll look back to April and a big highlight in African athletics. But first, this important message from a Hall of Fame basketball player from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net, thanks to Dikembe. In African athletics, one of the year's big highlights took place April 23rd, when long-distance runners from Kenya won the men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. Let's begin this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017 with some sporty kudos. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kenyan athletes Daniel Wanjiru and Mary Kaitani, who won the men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. The victories by Daniel and Mary came 6 days after Jeffrey Kirui and Edna Kiplagat swept the men's and women's titles for Kenya at the Boston Marathon, which, like London, is one of the six annual World Marathon Majors, along with a biennial race, the IAAF World Championships Marathon, and a quadrennial race, the Olympic Games Marathon. Mary Kaitani turned in a record-breaking performance in London, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale.
Kenyan Mary Kaitani produced an extraordinary display of front-running to win her third London Marathon title and set the fastest women-only time in history, breaking Paula Radcliffe's women-only world record to win the London Marathon. Kaitani crossed the finish line in 2 hours, 17 minutes and 1 second. Kaitani, after the race, said the victory will be remembered for many years to come.
I'm honored to be here in London. I just come actually to prove it that I was ready for it. Since last year I fell down, I remain back at home, not among those who are choosing to go to Rio. I think it will be remembered for many years.
Another Kenyan, Daniel Wanjiru, beat marathon favorite Kenenisa Bekele by 9 seconds to take the men's race. He finished the race in a time of 2 hours, 5 minutes, 56 seconds. Wanjiru, after the race, said the cheers from the crowd urged him on.
What I can say about the people in London, they are very good people because they are cheering us on the way. So when you hear they are cheering, you can have back more to run, and you can feel as you are fresh, and you can increase the pace and or maintain the pace. You are not feeling like you are getting tired. So I like the people here.
For Kenenisa Bekele, who came second, the loss was just short of his expectation for the London Marathon.
I couldn't achieve as I expected. It was a little bit quick, you know, in the beginning, halfway. I couldn't, but it was okay, you know. I'm happy that I finished the race in second position.
And now to South Africa, where long jump Olympic silver medalist Luvo Mayunga added another achievement to his growing list of accolades by breaking the African record for the second time this season at the SA Athletics Championship in Potchefstroom. Mayunga bettered his own continental mark by 3 centimeters, launching a massive 8.65 meters leap to earn the gold medal through his very first attempt, which was also his last as he picked up a niggle in his hamstring.
To not jump Atlanta jumps. As I said before, my groin injury is pulling me back, but I promise them this year I'll bring something home.
In the 400 meters event, world record holder Wade Van Niekerk won the 200 meters final in 19.90 seconds. Caster Semenya successfully defended her SA 400 meters and 800 meters title, winning both finals less than 2 hours apart. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More than 6 months after winning her London Marathon title, Mary Keitany finished as the second woman behind American Shalane Flanagan at the New York City Marathon. For her performances in London and New York, Mary Keitany was named the Female Marathon Runner of the Year by Ames, the Association of International Marathons and Distance Races. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Mary Keitany at the Ames Awards Gala in Athens, Greece. Here's Andy.
Well, congratulations, Mary. You're the Ames Best Marathon Runner of 2017. And, of course, so many marathon fans around the world will think of that women's only world record, 2 hours 17.01, you ran to win the London Marathon in April. When you went into that race, did you know that you were in the shape to do something special?
Thank you so much. I'm happy that I've won the Ames, and it was a pleasure for me and honor to be in Athens this weekend to get a present. So I know when I was going to run a record for women only, I know I was very ready, and I try my best to run as fast as I can, and that's why I did 2:17.01, and it was nullify that it was women only record. So for me it was just amazing, and also I said it's a motivation, and it will give me to still continue the with that potential of doing match.
Of course, we know that the women's world record outright in terms of paced racing is 2:15.23. I mean, do you think that's within your capability now? You recognise as the number one for 2017?
Okay, for me, I think sometimes I used to say that there is time for everything. So maybe in future, because I've been saying this marathon for women only, that one of us might break, of which it has been me who break it. Because I said as early as 2014, because always people of media used to ask me about this kind of women only record, and I told them one time we will try to beat. If it's me, I will try to do it. If it's another one, no problem. But in any case, we will just try to break it. So, and we have done it. As especially in my side, I'm saying that it was really honor that I try my best to win the women records only. So this one of 2:15 is maybe I can say I'm still able to try to run my PB from I think to run below 2:17. So I don't know how they will do the one for the both men's. I mean paced by men's, and for me to run under 2:17 is still possible.
Mary, you're the Ames Best Marathon Runner of 2017. Congratulations. Look forward to seeing many more races from you in future. Mary Keitany of Kenya, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And thanks also to the energetic Andy Edwards for his contributions during 2017. For our VOA listeners keeping score, I first met Energetic Andy at the 1999 IAAF World Championships in Athletics in Seville, Spain. And the rest, as they say, is history. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll hear from the VOA's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. This VOA programming note, I'll be taking a Christmas break, and none other than Andrew Palcheski will be hosting the show on Thursday and Friday. And Andrew joins us now here in the studio. Sporty seasonal greetings, Andrew.
Sporty seasonal greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
And this hosting gig will be kind of a swan song, so to speak. I regret to inform our listeners that you'll be leaving VOA.
Yes, I've accepted another communications position here in Washington, D.C. So sadly, I will be leaving VOA, but I do so with quite a few great memories and experiences, particularly on this program. It's been great chatting with you, Sonny, and great to hear from our listeners on social media. That's actually one of my favorite parts of the show is when you do read those comments from people out there. It's nice to know that they appreciate the program. They appreciate what we talk about. And so it's always nice to hear that. But I will miss all of you out there listening. And certainly I will miss you as well, Sonny. But off to bigger and better things, as they say, new opportunities out there in the world. Very exciting.
Well, Andrew, as a small gesture of appreciation, I have a little presentation to make. And you can let our VOA listeners what's in the bag, so to speak. But first, let's cue the music.
Oh, my. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love it. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's as our listeners might know, as they've over the time that we've been together, I am a big fan of the New York Mets in Major League Baseball, and so now I have a brand new New York Mets baseball hat that I will be bringing back with me to New York when I travel home for the holidays this weekend. So I will be wearing it with pride up in New York. But thank you very much. It's very kind of you.
I must say, thank Andrew, you. It was not easy to find a Mets cap in the Washington area.
Yeah, we're in enemy territory, in Nationals country down here. But I will be bringing this back up with me to New York, where, like I said, I'll be representing the Mets up there in friendlier territory. But thank you very
very much, Sonny. I appreciate that.
Well, what is trending in the sports world on this Wednesday, Andrew?
Well, fitting with the theme of the day and my impending departure, we have a couple of stories on new beginnings.
I like that.
Yes,
new beginnings.
So that's our theme today, new beginnings. And we start with a big day in U.S. college football. It is signing day for new college football players. Now, when you're an athlete who plans to play a sport in college, you have to sign what's called a letter of intent saying that you're committing to play for that school, particularly if scholarship money is involved. Now, previously, the signing day was held on the first Wednesday in February, but this year, for the first time, signing day has been moved up to the third Wednesday in December, which, of course, is today. So hashtag National Signing Day, hashtag NSD18, and hashtag Early Signing Period are all trending today as these student-athletes make their big announcements about where they plan to play college football. And, Sonny, some of these players are using social media in very creative ways for the big reveals. There are a lot of very slick, professionally produced videos where players are talking about their choice. In one video, a top high school player, Micah Parsons, spends about 2 minutes talking about how he came to love football, and as he runs through his hometown of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you see him holding up and then tossing aside shirts from schools that were courting him, like the University of Alabama, the University of Georgia, and Ohio State University, all top-tier college football programs. Now, at one point, he even puts on a shirt for the University of Oklahoma, and he says, "Boomer Sooner," which is the school's kind of slogan. Before the video rewinds, quick cut, and it's a fake out. He takes the shirt off, and I'm sure Oklahoma fans were not happy about that.
Uh-oh.
But at the end of the video, he says there is no place like home, and he walks onto the field at Penn State University. So that's where he'll be attending. But really amazing that these players have these whole campaigns, really, to announce where they're going. But keep in mind, these are the top high school players. They're going to probably be the top college players, which means they will be top drafts in the National Football League. So it's interesting. They're already starting to build that brand well before they even get to the pros. They haven't even gotten to college yet, but they're starting to build that up.
Andrew, I'm not sure I like those fake outs where they show one school and then they go to another. I mean, the schools that are watching must really be hurt when they do that.
Yeah, and this one was pretty extensive. You know, there were about six different teams that were courting this gentleman, Micah Parsons, and he had the shirt, held it up, threw it aside. So I'm sure the fans, when they saw that, were not happy about that. But one of the most elaborate videos I've seen so far is a short online video featuring Adrian Peterson, who's a running back for the National Football League's Arizona Cardinals. And in the video, Peterson unwraps a pack of cards featuring pictures of great players who attended the University of Oklahoma, which is his alma mater. And as he flips through those cards, Sonny, we see one of them features TJ Pledger, one of the top high school players in the country. So Peterson looks at that card, he looks up at the camera and says simply, "TJ Pledger, I like that." Now that's a good one. So that's how everybody found out that TJ Pledger would be playing for Oklahoma, using one of the great players of the National Football League to do so. But it's not just hashtag National Signing Day that's trending. Also trending today, welcome to the family, because coaches, students, and of course those fans are welcoming these players in.
Well, what other new beginnings, in addition to your own, are trending out there, Andrew?
Well, on Monday we talked about Jerry Richardson, the owner of the National Football League's Carolina Panthers, and how he planned to sell the team after some sexual harassment allegations against him. On Tuesday, we talked about how Richardson was stepping aside from ownership and how Tina Beckert was named chief operating officer, making her one of the highest-ranking female executives in the National Football League. And today, that story continues as people are now looking at who might buy the team from Richardson and take ownership of the Carolina Panthers. And already, Sonny, there are some big names being bandied about who are making a push to own the team. On Sunday night after that announcement, rapper Diddy tweeted out, "I would like to buy the Panthers, spread the word, retweet." You can't get more direct than that. Yes. But he followed up with a second tweet that talked about his motivation. He wrote, "There's no majority African-American NFL owners. Let's make history." Fans quickly jumping in with other names. Dr. Dre, the rapper and business mogul, power couple Beyonce and Jay-Z, and Oprah Winfrey, but perhaps the most likely person could be the great Michael Jordan.
MJ.
He is from North Carolina, where the Panthers play. He is a part owner of the Charlotte Hornets in the National Basketball Association, and he is valued at $1.4 billion. Certainly he's got the cash to do it. But after all that speculation, Sonny, one star is chiming in. Steph Curry replied to Diddy and said simply, I want in. So we might see some celebrity owners in the National Football League sometime soon.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's outgoing social media reporter. Andrew will be hosting the show on Thursday and Friday. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Sonny. It's been a pleasure working with you.
And that wraps up the December 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States has expanded its offer of rewards for information on key leaders of terrorist organizations to include a leader of one of the groups conducting attacks on government facilities and other targets in northern Nigeria, roiling the nation in sectarian violence. Abu Bakr Shekau is the leader of the group commonly known as Boko Haram, a Nigeria-based extremist organization seeking to overthrow the current government there and replace it with a regime based on a strict interpretation of Islamic law. Links with terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab have strengthened Boko Haram's capacity to conduct its attacks. Previously, the group's number two, Shekau claimed overall command in July 2010, expressing solidarity with Al-Qaeda and threatening the United States. A vehicle bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Abuja in August 2011 marked the group's first lethal operation against Western interests, killing at least 23 people and injuring 80 others. In April 2012, the group bombed a Nigerian newspaper office in Abuja and later threatened other local and international news outlets, including the Voice of America. Under his leadership, the group has kidnapped hundreds of children to serve as hostages, bearers, and even fighters. Shekau is tall, slim, and has a dark complexion. He was born in Yobe, Nigeria, sometime between 1965 and 1975, and is of the Kanuri ethnicity. He speaks Arabic, Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri. He is known to have used the aliases Abu Bakr Sikwa and Imam Abu Bakr Shekau. The Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to Shekau's location. The U.S. promises that all credible reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them and their families. If you have information on this man, contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, or submit a tip to www.rewardsforjustice.net or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. You may also call the Rewards for Justice tip line at 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Asante, AU, African Union. Can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this, whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.